Hi, this is Newt. Due to the virus, I'm recording from home, so you may notice a difference in audio quality. On this episode of Newt's World, one of the great intellectuals of our time, a man who has taught literally millions of people how to think, and who has, I think, some very profound insights about where we are as a country and how to understand that in a historic context. I'm really pleased to welcome my guest, Dennis Prager. Dennis, I really wanted to have you talk about the two compelling columns you've published in the last 2 weeks. The Good German was published on January 5th, and your follow-up, The Good American, published on January 12th. And by the way, our listeners can find both articles at newtsworld.com. You've just done such a great job. Can you talk about what led you to write these two?
First, let me just say it's an honor for me to be with you. Politicians are not known, and I don't say this as an insult, because this is not their job, but generally they don't think as much as they act. You're a thinker, and it is a joy to be with you. I wrote that column because something happened to me in the last year, which I can't believe happened. Normally, as you get older, and I've devoted my life to thinking through life, I didn't expect big changes in my thinking in some area to take place at this time, modifying and crystallizing ideas. But all of a sudden, something I had been somewhat obsessed with since I was a kid, the Holocaust and Germany and guilt and so on, it was taken for granted, so much so that there's actually a term, the good German. The person who didn't go after Jews was not even particularly pro-Nazi, may not have even been in the Nazi party, but, you know, he did nothing. And that was held in contempt. And now I understand that the good German, and I wrote in there, the good Russian, the Russian who kept silent as 20 to 40 million of his fellow citizens were murdered and shipped off to the gulag. And, you know, they didn't help ship them. They didn't even snitch, but they, of course, did nothing. And then I realized, wait a minute, we have an American population doing nothing as its rights are increasingly reduced and diminished. And there is no Gestapo who's going to knock at the door. And there is no NKVD, the Russian predecessor to the KGB, that will take you away at night. So I realized, wait a minute, the average human of every nationality is going to be the good German. And we have this now in America. So this was a very painful column for me to write.
Well, it's doubly painful because in the cases you're describing, the people are faced with horrifying realities. I mean, Lenin and Stalin and the Gulag, on the one hand, Hitler, the Nazi party, pogroms, not just against Jews, also against gypsies, but also programs to kill children who are born handicapped. I mean, the depth of ethnic cleansing that was underway in Nazi Germany is truly astonishing, and I think understated. And in a way, I agree with you, we're now faced with not yet that level of violence, but certainly a totalitarian movement on the left, which is increasingly out in the open and increasingly willing to just crush us and to ensure that we can't function. You've been teaching with Prager University, and you have a substantial following of people who see you as a genuine intellectual. How do we turn the corner on this?
I have been advocating that right now we disengage from their institutions as much as possible. That is why what happened to Parler is very symbolic. They won't allow us, to the extent that they can prevent us, from creating free institutions as they create policed institutions. So this is as clear a war of freedom versus totalitarianism as America has ever engaged in. So we need to have our own Parler. Remember, the people who started Parler did not do it so that only conservatives speak. The conservative view is we don't give a hoot if leftists speak. We just don't want to have our speech suppressed. That's one of the many huge differences between left and right. We are perfectly comfortable with people who oppose us speaking. We are not comfortable with being suppressed. I think people need to disengage. The most important is to take your kids out of school and homeschool them, or send them to a religious school, or send them to a private school that actually believes in reading, writing, and arithmetic. I don't even care if the school is conservative. I care if the school is teaching and not indoctrinating. See, right now, if you're not left, you're called conservative. I couldn't care less. You can call me a camel. I don't care what you call me. I have known that the left is the enemy of freedom my whole life. I studied at the Russian Institute of Columbia, at the School of International Affairs. I did my graduate work in leftism. There were 7 students in the entire university who majored in what was called communist affairs. I learned Russian to read Pravda, and I will tell you that every day there is less difference between the New York Times and Pravda. I did not expect to say this. This is also a phenomenon in my life. But to answer you, to summarize what I just said, we must disengage. They have taken over and poisoned every institution. The NBA, the NFL, late night television, elementary schools now feature the lie, and it is pure lie, the 1619 project of the New York Times, for which the Pulitzer Prize was given, just as they gave the Pulitzer Prize to the New York Times in 1932, when they denied that there was a famine induced by Stalin in Ukraine. So the New York Times lying is not new, but the extent is new. So we must remove our kids. And I tell parents, look, I've said this for years, you're playing Russian roulette with your child's values if you send them to college. And now it's true for elementary school. Your first grader may well have drag queen story hour, where a man dressed as a woman will come in and read them a story. Why would you would gamble with them coming out loathing everything you stand for is the ultimate puzzle. I know it's difficult to start homeschooling or to take your kid out of the school. There is no choice now.
Do you sense a significant increase in the number of people who are either engaged in homeschooling or who are finding alternative education to the public unionized bureaucracies?
I know that it's happening. I don't know the numbers. And by the way, they will try to ban it. You know, people don't know this. Germany has prohibited. It is illegal to homeschool your child in Germany. The state will educate your child, indoctrinate your child, or you will face criminal consequences.
In terms of how you've approached it with your organization, how would you describe your mission and the way you go about it?
The mission of Prager University, better known generally as PragerU, is to present in as articulate and calm and rational and truth-based way the things that they will not study at a regular school. And so there would be a moral defense of capitalism. There would be a video on the price paid for going green in all of our energy. I only make 1 out of 10 videos. I want people to understand this. We have about 450. They're all 5 minutes. This was the irony. I'm somewhat of a biblical scholar, if it doesn't sound bad to say something like that about yourself. I have volume 3 of my 5-volume commentary of the first 5 books coming out next year. I know biblical Hebrew pretty much like English. And I did 10 videos on the 10 commandments. There are tens of millions of views. So Google put one of the videos on its restricted list. Thou shalt not murder. We were a little puzzled. Why would they do that? Restricted list means if you have filters against pornography and violence, you can't see our video. So in the U.S. Senate, I testified while a representative from Google did. Senator Cruz asked the man, why did you place Mr. Prager's video on the Ten Commandments on the restricted list? And the man with a completely straight face said, because it mentions murder. It's not even Orwellian. It's absurd. So I said, before my formal words, as a result, we will now issue a Google-friendly 9 commandments.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just curious. Did the guy from Google have any idea how stupid that was?
That is such a good question. My sense is that no one lacks self-awareness as do leftists. They are oblivious to themselves. It is a phenomenon that Nancy Pelosi can stand up and say that if you question the election, you should be impeached. Whereas we have her tweet from 2017 doing exactly that, saying that the election was hijacked, the one which Donald Trump won. And if you brought it to her attention, it would make no difference. You might as well bring her a copy of a Swahili novel.
You drew a parallel between how the American left is using the Capitol mob and the Nazis used the Reichstag fire. Can you expand on that?
1 month after Hitler and the Nazis came to power in 1933, 1 month later, the German parliament, the Reichstag, burned down, or a big fire. It didn't fully burn down. A big fire erupted in it. And Hitler then had the parliament pass the Enabling Act. And the Enabling Act enabled the Nazis to then completely suppress communists in Germany and completely deprive them of any voice in the society. Everything that they published, everything they wrote, everything they broadcast was shut down, because they blamed them for the fire. It turns out one Dutchman set the fire. And that's what's happening in the United States. Remember, that was not yet at all the era of death camps for Nazism. This was just the beginning. And I'm not saying that the Democrats are going to make death camps. I do not believe they will. So I want to make that clear. But in 1933, the parallel to 2021 is frightening. The use of the Capitol mob is the same as the use of the Reichstag fire. We will suspend civil liberties because of that event. That's the direct parallel to what the Nazis did in 1933. And I want to state something that you alluded to in your own thinking. I have said this all of my life. I have written it. And this is not new. All leftists are totalitarian. Liberals are not totalitarian. Conservatives are not. Leftists are. The great tragedy is that liberals are the useful idiots of the left, and they revel in it. This is the reason for our tragedy. If liberals actually voted their values, they would vote Republican.
The problem I find is that Orwell's 1984 reads like current events.
That's right. I would say, actually, I think Orwell would have said we outdid him. You cannot say you are now considered a hater, may well be removed from Twitter if you tweet, men do not give birth. Just tweet that, men do not give birth, and see what happens on the internet.
Which is crazy.
That's why I said, I think Orwell would have said, I could never have imagined this.
Well, you know, that's why I was fascinated that the very first day of the new Congress, Pelosi got 217 Democrats to vote that in the official rules, they would eliminate some 39 words, including mother, father, uncle, aunt, etc., in order to get to gender neutrality. And I thought, how you get a normal everyday Democrat to vote for junk like that and have to go home and explain it is amazing.
They don't have to go home and explain it. I would be very curious if the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, Washington Post, CNN, I would be surprised if they covered this. I would. If I had to bet, and I'm not a gambler, but if I had to bet, if it was covered, it was minuscule, the coverage, and it probably was not covered at all. The average liberal does not know what the left is doing.
Right. Well, I think that's right. But that should be the Republican Party's job.
Yeah. How do you communicate now?
Well, that makes it interesting. Maybe billboards. So let me go on, though. I understand you're suing YouTube for censorship.
Right.
How is that evolving?
Well, the courts have turned it down until now, but we're proceeding. If they don't pack the Supreme Court, it might go to the Supreme Court. The big media companies, the tech giants, were given their power on the condition that they didn't censor, that they allowed free speech. That way they're immune from lawsuits for all sorts of things on the internet. So they took the immunity, but they didn't keep their part of the deal. They censor. Right. So we have a very serious problem. It's almost getting like communist China. They have an internet, but it's censored. And so we have an internet, and it is censored. So people say, well, it's private companies. They're allowed to do that. Given this analogy, being a talk show host, I get people who differ with me. So I get to actually, so to speak, debate these issues. Nobody's had an answer to this question. If United and Delta and American, the three big airlines, if they all announce you cannot walk onto our plane with the Wall Street Journal, let's fantasize for a moment. Why can't they do that? They are private companies. If the people making this argument are serious, most are not, if they're serious, then they don't have an answer to that question. Why do airlines have to fly conservatives if Google and Twitter do not have to allow them to fly? I've never gotten an answer.
You're exactly right. They're either a common carrier and everybody gets to play, or they need to become a newspaper and everybody gets to sue them. Either technique will work. But let me ask you for a second. It was tragically this week, Sheldon Adelson, who's an amazing person, passed away at 87. What are your memories of Sheldon?
I broadcast about him, and I just wrote his wife a note. And I would like to just add that he has not funded any of my endeavors. I have no vested interest in saying this. The man was courageous, one of the few of the truly wealthy who has courage. It is a pack of sheep, the world of the billionaires. And I read something in, I think, a Vegas paper, that he was the one casino the entire lockdown who paid his employees. 1,600, I think it was the number, at his hotel, the Venetian. That's a very powerful thing. As a general rule, conservatives are better human beings than leftists. I'm not saying liberals, but than leftists. Because we don't believe the government should take care of you as much as we should take care of you. So it must produce finer human beings. It also produces happier people. Every survey has conservatives happier than liberals, let alone leftists. There are no happy leftists. If you're a happy person, you're a threat to leftism. I have a riddle. What do you call a happy American? Answer, a Republican.
That's great. So, one more thing. You've now done a movie, No Safe Spaces, with you and Adam Carolla. Tell us why you did this film and what it's all about.
Well, it was, I think, the top documentary of 2020. It is both funny and powerful. Many people cry at the end. It's a very good movie, and I have no compunctions about saying it, even though I quote-unquote star in it. It's not great because I'm in it. It's great because they made a great movie. I just want to make that clear, and I'm not known for my humility. But I just want to make it clear, this is a great movie, and it is more pertinent than when we made it, about free speech in America. And there are a lot of liberals in the movie, too. Barack Obama's in the movie. So I hope people will watch No Safe Spaces and show it to their children of any age, because the threat is unprecedented to free speech. Sweet land of liberty, the land of the free, the home of the brave, the Statue of Liberty. Liberty is on every coin, the Liberty Bell. And now I'll tell you one other thing that I've realized only in the last couple of years. Another big revelation. Liberty is not a human instinct. It's a value. People do not yearn to be free. They yearn to be taken care of.
Which means you have to cultivate being free.
That's right. You have to cut right. And we didn't cultivate it. Since World War II, there has been no civic American moral education to speak of.
And we're paying the price now. Our listeners can find a link to the movie on our show page at newtsworld.com, or they can go directly to nosafespaces.com. There were some distribution issues with some of the retailers. What was the resistance?
Netflix would not carry the film. It's not amazing that when you think of the junk that Netflix allows, and this film, filled with liberals, I might add, was not allowed. It is quite something.
Did they have an explanation for it?
No, they did not have an explanation, though Adam, who has far more links into Hollywood than I do, which is a martyrdom role for him, and I think it was my presence in the film that did it. As you can tell from the interview, I'm out of the mainstream. I mean, here I am, a Jew from New York, went to Columbia, was a Democrat till the 1980s. I still have mostly liberal views, but every single one of my liberal views is now called conservative, like being race blind. I was told to be race blind. I am race blind, and that's now called a microaggression.
Well, I know. So it's astonishing.
It is, yeah.
You have, to me, been a profile in courage and in consistency. You're one of the leading intellectuals trying to reach out to the entire country, and I think the work you do is truly historic, and I really am grateful that you'll take this time to share with our listeners.
Well, coming from you, I am extremely honored. Thank you so much.
Newt's World is produced by Gingrich 360 and iHeartMedia. Our executive producer is Debbie Myers. Our producer is Garnsey Sloan, and our researcher is Rachel Peterson. The artwork for the show was created by Steve Penley. Special thanks to the team at Gingrich 360. If you've been enjoying Newt's World, I hope you'll go to Apple Podcasts and both rate us with 5 stars and give us a review so others can learn what it's all about. Sign up to receive 3 free columns from me every week. Go to gingrich360.com/newsletter. I'm Newt Gingrich. This is Newt's World.